feet was Bob the Germany had was a
huge monster.
Simple little airplanes, no pilots, just carrying bombs. Just put enough gas in them so they could fly over the channel over Britain.
Right.
You see those things coming, maybe you heard the mortar stop.
You were in trouble.
Then, well, you weren't in trouble, you just knew where you needed to get out of the way.
Right. I remember you saying that, that you were fine as long as you heard the motor going.
You know, if you saw the airplane not coming at your way, you knew you were okay. And then they developed the V2 bomb, which was a huge one that could blow up a whole square mile of the city at once.
Boy.
So we were in London when three or four of those came down at night.
Were you retreating to bomb shelters?
No, they were sure the war was going to be over then, so nobody bothered doing that.
Is that right? Is that because you were kind of shell-shocked, so accustomed to the danger? Is it because you were just, playing the statistics? You didn't think there was that bad of a chance you'd get hit?
Well, when you're with a bunch of other people that have lived there, and you're playing cards, and they don't even mention it, so you...
You take your cue from the people sitting around the table?
You take your yell, right.
And if they're not going to panic and run, then you're not going to... This is the second episode of my interview with my dad while we drive from Portland to Seattle. It's called Mid-20th Century Art.
I may have been saved by scarlet fever because I got 3 weeks behind them by being in the hospital.
Oh, I forgot. I'm not sure you ever told me that. Saved by scarlet fever?
I don't know what that, I just know that. That's one reason I never got to go over and bomb Germany.
Right. So you must have had friends, however, even flying at night, flying missions at night that were dangerous or who didn't come back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I had, on my high school class, two of my high school buddies, Sid Emery and Frank Moth, both were killed.
Oh, gosh.
And then the other big thing was breaking the Germans' code.
Right.
You probably saw that movie.
Imitation Game from
Imitation
a couple years
game.
Back. Mathematicians won the war.
And the invention of the Spitfire was another one. But one was the Norden bomb site.
All right.
And that wound up with the... Canadians flying at night and the U.S. Air Force doing the daylight stuff so they could use their super accurate bomb sight.
Wow.
But the other side of that was that while we were flying at night, they couldn't see us and we didn't get shot at like the Americans did.
That's a certain advantage to fly at night,
yeah.
I guess.
So they gave me a leave and I came home for Christmas.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I got a recall because of something had turned around in the car. I don't know what it was, going from the V1 to the V2 bomb, or something that the Germany did that there was something that's reverse.
So you mean you were called back over because suddenly things were desperate, or because suddenly things are going well for us?
Because of something they were afraid that Germany was going to get the upper hand again.
Do you remember VE Day, June 6th, is it?
Yep.
Victory in Europe?
Yep.
Do you remember where you were? Do you remember how you heard the news?
I was with thousands of people that looking at a palace, I guess.
What? On a going to see the Queen? What were you doing? Tourist? Wandering around? Protesting the monarchy? What were you doing?
We weren't protesting anything. We were, everybody was celebrating. But I just remember thousands of people in London anyway.
You didn't hear it come over the radio? You heard it by word of mouth? You just suddenly ran out in the streets?
Well, we heard it. On our base, I guess, over the loudspeaker or something.
All right.
It was going to be, they set a time for it, of course.
Oh, the official time of the signing of the surrender?
Yeah, right. Which I always worried about because there's only going to get a few people killed. And
right,
while they're waiting for that time to go.
At the last minute.
Yeah.
Construction supplies, food,
whatever, yeah.
All it took to have the Royal Canadian Air Force there to get it back to this side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, they just called it flying the hump over India into China or someplace.
Oh, you mean you were preparing to deliver it to the war in the Pacific?
Right.
Oh, okay. But you didn't end up doing that, did you?
No, we didn't, because that war, if we had any assignments.
They dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki,
yep.
And
yep.
Japan surrendered.
Yep.
A conversation turned from the end of the war in 1945 to the process of re-entry into civilian life in Canada.
Coming back to Canada must have taken you a while.
Oh, yes, it took me about 4 months or more.
You have tens or hundreds of thousands of troops over there. It's hard to bring them all back.
I had to get in line with everybody that was overseas. And it was first come, first served. I was the last to get over there.
Not only
was I way down the line, but there's 2 whole months that they lost my records. Nobody knew where I was.
I never heard that, Dad. Oh, boy.
Well, I was on our base there in York and went to 3 meals a day and
sure.
Sights saw in the daytime, whatever we wanted to do. And cool. Station commander, you know, nobody knows where your records are, so just enjoy yourself.
Just enjoy. Dad, do you remember the role of faith, church, while you were over there on the ship, on the base? I assume there was some sort of, Protestant and then Catholic, or were there separate Presbyterian or Episcopal services? Do you have a sense of being surrounded by people of who declared some faith, or was it unspoken, or what?
It just didn't exist.
What do you mean?
Except, I never went to church. But I remember the head chaplain of the Royal Canadian Air Force came to our base, and I remember going to his lecture in an assembly hall, listening to him about our faith. And one of the things I never forgot, he said, "You guys take off every morning and you bet your life in the airplanes, why don't you just bet your life on Christ and save your life? And all that kind of stuff.
If you can trust the airplane, why not trust Christ?
Yep.
That's a good metaphor.
That really hit me with that. I got back to New Westminster, the president of the United Church.
Right.
He was the pastor.
Oh my gosh.
And he's the one that married us.
Where you and Mum got married?
Yeah. Dr. Willen.
I had no idea. I recognize his name now that you say that.
Yeah. So you'll see his picture in some of our weddings.
Gosh, what are the chances of that happening? That must have been an interesting time to be traveling, because the whole continent must have been crawling with young men like yourself who were trying to come back and get relocated to lives they hardly recognized.
Right. What really bugged me was that our little town, I was one of the heroes. Everybody makes a big fuss over me. It's my brother that really did all the dirty work during the war. And
Earl had to stay at the farm and work.
Had to stay and get lung problems because of driving a tractor in the dust.
Boy.
You know?
Don't forget to check out the conclusion, Late 20th Century and Early 21st Century Art. Thanks for listening.